Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is a best of the Steve Jones Show. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve is off all this week, enjoying a well-deserved vacation up in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. But Steve is always in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Other than that, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, a great selection of pre-owned inventory if that's where the budget says that's the route you need to take. Either way, you have a sales staff that's not just there for the sale, but they are there for you. And they have a service department as well that's there for your current vehicle with the diagnostics, with the inspections, with all the simple routine maintenance. It's all part of the Sunbury Motors guarantee. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We've got a loaded show today here on this best of edition here on this Wednesday. We've got Pittsburgh sports mixed in, as well as some Penn State sports alumni today. So we got a lot to pack in. In a few moments, we'll start things off with AT&T Sportsnet's Paul Alexander. He joined us middle of May after the Penguins' playoff run came to an end for the third straight year in the first round after a Game 7 loss to the New York Rangers. He had a lot to say about where the Pens were at that time and the question marks and trying to bring back the core three. One of them is back, of course, in Chris Letang, who just signed his contract a couple of days ago. But Evgeny Malkin looks like he's going to test the free agent market, so that was kind of the discussion then. So we'll replay that interview coming up in just a few minutes. Then at 3:35, we have Jerry Dulac from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and Steelers Radio Network. More golf talk with him in this segment that we're going to play coming up at 3:35. Back to when the LIV Tour and the PGA Tour were at the biggest odds and all the most raw reaction came out of the LIV Tour finally kind of breaking away and when all the players were starting to make their choice as to which way they were going to go. So we'll replay that interview with Jerry Dulac at 3:35 today. Then at 4:06, we have a pair of Penn State football alumni replays. Jaquan Brisker, Jahan Dotson, of course, were just drafted this year to the Bears and Commanders, respectively. So we'll replay those interviews at 4:06 when they joined Steve shortly after they were drafted into the NFL. And then we'll wrap things up today with Kelly Mazzanti, of course, the now associate coach for Bucknell women's basketball under Trevor Woodruff. Of course, Penn State women's basketball, all-time great. Montoursville High School girls basketball, all-time great. And she was just elected into the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, and that ceremony is coming up in October. So she joined us after being elected into the PA Sports Hall of Fame. So we'll end the show on that note with Kelly Mazzanti. So a lot to pack in here today. Looking forward to that. So let's get things started with AT&T Sportsnet Pittsburgh's Paul Alexander when he rejoined us after the Penguins' latest first-round exit 3 years in a row, falling to the New York Rangers and setting the scene for what was maybe to come for the Penguins and trying to see how they can keep the core players together.
And let's bring in Paul Alexander. Join us for a few minutes. One of my favorite people on the planet, sir. Great to have you with us. And by the way, a belated happy birthday to your beautiful wife.
Oh, well, thank you for all of that, except for that that radio replay. I guess it was a TV replay. That'll haunt Penguin fans for a long time because, you know, the future with the, you know, the three longest tenured teammates in NHL history, with Crosby, Malkin, and Letang, no word on whether or not, you know, that the band's going to be kept together. So that was a tough one. You know, the NHL, as much as I love hockey, and I do love hockey, I really don't like the NHL very much. If they would just act like the most prominent and powerful sports league in the world, my apologies to all those soccer, you know, configurations. The NFL gets it. They protect their stars. You know, hits to the head became a problem. They were eliminated. They were fined heavily, and they basically, you know, disappeared. And then you hit Tom Brady with a low hit. All of a sudden, that's a penalty, and that's finable, and that's going to protect your quarterbacks even more. You hit Sidney Crosby in the head as much as you would like, or you elbow, you know, Jake Gensel. It's not even penalized, let alone, you know, found to be something that could be, you know, a suspended offense or anything of the such. So if you look at this series, there's a lot of things you can break down. Goaltending mismatch was ridiculous when you have Louis Domingue going against Shesterkin. That's just not fair on any track. But still, if the NHL would have just taken care of business and you have Sidney Crosby for, you know, a longer period of time, if you have him in games 5 and 6, I think it's very much a Penguin series to advance to the second round.
Well, not only that, but Miller last night, I mean, he took a clear shot to Crosby's head around the goal, and you know the shot I'm talking about.
Exactly.
That's the kind of thing that is a penalty. And if you're looking to protect the game, especially on national TV, you make that call, and they didn't make the call. And Crosby never complains.
No, I mean, he learned the hard way. In fact, it was the great Edzo that we heard on the call. You know, he was Sid's first NHL head coach, and Edzo was very stern and very strict with him about, you got to quit crying. Officiating is only going to get worse the more you mouth off. So Edzo was very, very strong on that end of things, and I think that helped quite a bit. But here's what's ironic. The only time the NHL cares about head injuries is when your helmet comes off. Yeah. You have to immediately skate to the bench, which is probably one of the more ridiculous things. You know, the NHL could be very ridiculous. That stands out as something very, very ridiculous.
Yeah, and it happened, and Marino played a really good series. Now, he's not the one that had to skate off. Pedersen did. But Marino played a really good series.
He played pretty strong as well.
Yeah, last night was not one of them. Neither one of them, especially Marino, for some odd reason, didn't play well, because I thought Jari played great.
He did, for coming, you know, a broken foot. Now, we don't know what bone it was, or, you know, if it was any kind of, you know, weight-bearing bone or whatever it was, but he didn't play, you know, for a good bit of time, and wasn't even on skates. He had his leg in a boot for the first 3 or 4 days of the injury. So, yeah, to be in that state of conditioning, that state of rustiness, he was not the problem. And actually, goaltending wasn't the problem either. It really wasn't.
No.
I mean, it was a mismatch, certainly, but when you have a 3-1 lead, with or without Sid, you just kind of find a way to scratch out one more win. And you had leads in every game. You had leads in all 3 of the games that you needed to get that 4th win. You find a way. And the Penguins have been very stubborn and somewhat arrogant in that they think the league will adjust to them, Steve. And the playoffs are going to be a lot more physical. Things aren't going to be called. Playoffs aren't going to, you know, power plays aren't going to determine the outcome. So they just continue. Like, this is now the 4th straight year where they think the league's going to change. And they've been eliminated in the first round for 4 straight years because the league is not going to change.
No,
it's
not.
Now, in 16 and 17, they were the fastest team in the NHL. You can't hit what you can't catch. They're not that team anymore. And they have zero physicality. Zero. They're a soft team. And you take Dumoulin out of the mix, which was really a huge factor.
Yeah, I agree.
They're really pretty lame on the blue line. I mean, they have talent in Letang and Matheson, great skating. But they don't have any toughness. They don't have any, you know, guys that if you put your head down for a second, you're going to pay for it. They don't have those guys. You need them in the postseason.
If you're going to guess, now, the old Bill Walsh saying when he was talking to Randy Cross, said, I think you've got 5 more years left in the league, but only 2 of them are really good. I only want the really good ones. They're kind of at that point with Malkin, Letang, and then to a point, Rust, who's 30. How do you think it plays out?
It's going to be very interesting. I think Rust is going to get money that the Penguins aren't going to match, and that'll be unfortunate because he's a gamer. I mean, he is a big-time clutch performer, and I think he had a fantastic year that's going to earn him the money the Penguins can't afford. I think Gino will take a significant discount. He's already said many times, I have more than enough money. He's not one of those guys that's going to go to the highest bidder. Letang is still that guy. The quarterback's your power play, is the absolute defender on the penalty kill, and will put up minutes that'll blow your mind, 28 to 30 minutes every game.
Yeah.
If someone offers him 3 or 4 years at a pretty big number, he's going to probably go, and it probably will be Montreal, his hometown.
Yeah. And guess what? They got the cash to do it.
I don't blame him. He doesn't know the Penguins a discount.
No. And Montreal is desperate, Paul. They need to get some credibility back with their fans, along with the first overall pick in the draft.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Chris brings that, and he is such a great, great human being, the hardest worker you'll ever find. Yes, he infuriates you with some of the chances that he takes, some of the giveaways, but he more than makes up, you know, for that with all the positive impact that he has.
Well, you just described yourself, great human being and a positive impact. My friend, it's always a pleasure.
Well, Steve, it is a great pleasure to be with you. You know, my son Sam is actually going to be a cheerleader for the Nittany Lions next year, so hopefully he'll be up for a lot more games.
I can't wait to see you, and
great
congrats
stuff,
to Sam.
Right?
That's awesome, isn't it? It's great.
It is. I can't wait. Steve, thanks so much. Always a pleasure.
And that is AT&T Sportsnet Pittsburgh's Paul Alexander when he joined us shortly after another first-round playoff exit for the Pittsburgh Penguins. But again, at this point, Chris Letang is back. We'll still see what happens with Evgeny Malkin, as he looks like he's going to definitely test free agency after turning down that offer from the Pens. It was a 4-year, $24 million contract that he turned down. So we'll see how that goes with Evgeny Malkin. And, of course, Sidney Crosby will be back with the Pens next year. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com, home of the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. We'll continue our Pittsburgh sports theme coming up in the next half hour with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette Steelers Radio Network's Jerry Dulac, but with some golf talk, as we'll recap the whole Liv PGA situation when that really first broke out a couple weeks ago. It is the Best of the Steve Jones Show here on this Wednesday on News Radio 1070 WJOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It is a best of the Steve Jones Show on this Wednesday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve is off all week enjoying some well-deserved vacation time. But other than that, he'll always be in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, great selection of pre-owned inventory. You got a great service department. You got a great sales staff. You got it all with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Continuing our Pittsburgh sports theme part of this Wednesday Best of Show, Jerry Dulac from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette Steelers Radio Network joined us a few weeks ago, but more or less for some golf talk, kind of recapping when the raw reaction was first coming out about the LIV Tour breaking away from the PGA, what players were following suit and all that. We got into that with Jerry Dulac a few weeks ago.
Jerry Dulac, My good friend joins us. Welcome back. Great to have you with us on what's an eventful week.
Well, Steve, always good to be with you, whether the week is eventful or uneventful. Always glad to come on with you.
Same here, Jerry. So I need to get your opinion on LIV and where everything stands with the PGA Tour.
Well, I kind of have mixed feelings about it in this regard, Steve. First off, the whole thing is unfortunate. The way it is played out all of a sudden. I mean, what it was 2 months ago, what it was 2 weeks ago, and what it is now is drastically different. And it's become obviously a very contentious situation with the PGA Tour and some of its members. I think ultimately when this whole thing plays out, I think it's going to end up in court with these players who decide to go play on the LIV Tour. How long that's going to sustain itself, how long those guys want to play there and take the money, even though I know they're not always just playing in Saudi Arabia, and when they want to come back to the PGA Tour. For example, Phil Mickelson, who has lifetime membership after what he's accomplished. Why should he then be banned from the PGA Tour as a 1099 subcontractor? So I eventually see this thing ending up in court. I get the players who, look at Charles Schwartzel, what he wins last week for a nothing 54-hole event. They pay him $4.75 million for a nothing event that matters, that counts for nothing. There's no world ranking points. There's no legacy to it. It doesn't have any cachet beyond the money, but it's the money. And the counter to that are the people who want, and I get this, who want to get up on the pulpit and talk about the righteousness of and the immorality of playing over there because of the Saudi government, because of their human rights atrocities, because of the way they treat women. I get all that too. But there probably isn't, there certainly isn't a player on the PGA Tour who at one time or another hasn't gone over and played in Saudi Arabia for those large appearance fees and those big purses, for those exhibitions. They've all done it. So now somebody's going to do it instead of once, they're going to do it eight times. Steve, what's the difference? You've done it once, you might as well do it eight times, correct? I mean, you either do it or you don't if you're going to stand on principle. And how many American businesses or businessmen have we seen over the years go over to Saudi Arabia and work there because of the no taxes and the large sums of money they make? And they go over and they work for a couple years, inflate their bank account, and then, move back to the United States. I mean, we see it happen all the time in American business. So, again, I'm not defending any of those guys. It's just that, how can you blame Lee Westwood or Ian Poulter on the downside of their career if they're going to go over there and in 3 days in a 54-hole event win $2, $3, or $4 million, which is more than they're going to win on the PGA Tour or chances are on the European Tour for one event? And now, okay, so they play eight events. Let's say at minimum they win $250K. Well, that's another couple $2 million in their pocket at minimum for playing a 54-hole event. So, yeah, the whole thing is unfortunate because mainly it's overshadowed the U.S. Open. All the talk this week, Steve,
yes,
was the LIV Tour, the Golf Series, and I think guys like Phil Mickelson are taking a beating. Dustin Johnson has kind of evaded some of that, but Kevin Na, those guys, but they're going to fire at all these guys, DeChambeau, Patrick Reed, every time one of them goes. And I know Rory has been outspoken. I get it. John Rahm had some strong comments. I get it. When you're a competitor, when you're an elite player, you want to play against the best, you want to be the best, and you want to win tournaments that matter, not those exhibitions. Except that how can you fault those? How can you fault Charles Schwartzel for playing for 3 days and winning $4.75 million?
Well, what's interesting about this is that Rahm is from Spain. McIlroy is from Northern Ireland. They both decided not to play the European Tour, but come over and play here.
Right.
I mean, that point is never brought up. I mean, I'm not trying to defend or any, but you do have to point out certain elements of this where what's the, you know, I realize the Saudi money part of it, that part I've got. But you are shunning the tour that you normally would be a part of and pushing forward to come over here and play.
Right, right. And you know, Steve, I was doing an interview today and somebody said, you know, talking about this, politics aside, what about this, what about that? And I said, well, that's the problem. That's what's causing the consternation, is the politics, the morality of it all, or what they want to claim is the morality of it all. And that's right. What's dividing a lot of these people. And yet, like I said, there isn't one of those stars on the PGA Tour that hasn't gone over there and taken a large appearance fee and played in one of their events over the last 8, 10 years, or however many years they've been doing some of those events out of season. And mm-hmm. they've all done it because of the money. And so, it's really caused a problem for the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour has reacted like they did because I think they see it as a big threat. They see it as a big threat because of the money. But the reality is, again, too, Steve, you look at that event Cheryl Schwartzel won. I mean, who really cares? Nobody cares about that event. The only person who cares about anything is the money is Cheryl Schwartzel for the money he won. And that tour, they're hoping to get, you know, they would like to be able to get world ranking points, because if these guys, let's say they play in this tour for 3-4 more years, guess what? They start to lose world ranking points. They just start dropping and dropping and dropping. Next thing you know, they don't get into World Golf Championship events. Maybe they don't get into the majors if they're not otherwise qualified or invited. And so that's when it's going to blow up. And they're never going to get world ranking points when they play 54 hole events, because they won't sanction those for the world rankings. You got to be 72 holes. So as long as they're playing 54 holes, that's not going to happen either.
Right. Exactly. And that's where it's going to, and the fans just want to see the best play against the best. I think that's pretty much where the fan comes from. They don't want to see splits.
You know, Stephen, that ideally is the goal of the LIV Tour. They talk about they want to try and get these players, pay them, but they want to pit the best players in the world against the best players in the world, because other than majors and 3 or 4 world golf championships, that's the only time you see it. But they figure by reducing the field to 48 players and having the top players in the world, then those guys competing against each other is what they're trying to do, create these matchups. But, you know, Steve, that's no different than a made-for-TV event, because the tournament right. itself that they're conducting, it means nothing. It means right. nothing. So these guys can go against each other. It's no different than Tiger playing Phil, in the Battle of the Bridges, or whoever he went against, right. Eric Garcia right. or whatever. It's the yeah. same thing. It's a made-for-TV yeah. event, except these people don't have TV. And nobody right. really cares. The only thing that people care about with golfers in terms of competition is seeing who contends in the majors, even more so than the players in the World Golf Championships. That's all that matters.
Right.
And none of these other events matter to these guys in terms of competition, with the best players in the world.
What's interesting to me is the backdrop of all of this, of all the places to have this happen, the country club where Francis, we met, an right. amateur, cross the street and beat Ted Ray and Harry Vardon in 1913. This is an interesting course. This is another, you and I talked about Southern Hills and Gil Hance. Well, Gil Hance again. It used to have 3,200 square feet of greens. Now it's up to 44 in his redo, which is a little bit more than Pebble, but that's part of the feature of this place. What intrigues you about the country club?
Well, you know, Steve, the first event that I did that I covered out of town, beyond Oakmont and any major that was held there in Western PA, the first time I traveled on a tour to a major was in 1988 at the Country Club, and mm-hmm. that's when Curtis Strange beat Nick Faldo in a playoff. And you know, while I remember little about the golf course, I'm curious seeing it on TV again. I do remember that it was just an old style, old fashioned. Old golf course, obviously the oldest in America, and it was really neat. And so when I saw what Gil Hance did at Southern Hills, when I was at Southern Hills for the U.S. Open at Retief Goosen won, and when Tiger won the PGA, it's Southern Hills, but it didn't blow me away. I didn't think, wow, this place is really special. But what I saw Gil Hance do with his refurbish was I was very impressed with the look, to the point where I thought, wow, I don't remember any of that. Well, that's because it wasn't there. And right. I thought he did an outstanding job. And so I don't think he didn't change the character of the country club. And, you know, Oakmont is bringing him in for the 2025 Open. He's coming in next year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're going to, you know, first of all, they're redoing all the bunkers. They're redoing the irrigation system. But they're going to change a few things, but they won't touch the contours of the green, and they won't touch the re-rotting of the hole. That's like a no-no at Oakmont, and that's just not happening. So I don't know that what Gil Hance is going to do will be visible to a lot of people, but he will come in, and he's not going to change the character of look at Oakmont. And I don't think he did a whole lot of that at the country club. I think it'll be even less so at Oakmont, but whatever it is, and he did LA North for next year, which is where the U.S. Open is, and you know, he's become the designer of choice for these restorations of these iconic golf courses. And you know, what I've seen so far of the country club on TV, it looks fabulous.
Obviously, Rory played well. He birdied his last hole, which is number 9, because he started in the back 9. He ended up at 3 under. So give me a grouping of guys that we need to take a long, hard look at that you think can handle this kind of test on this particular course.
Well, there's no question Rory can do it. And the reason I stayed away from picking him, even though he won last week and he did it by birdieing the last 2 holes, Rory obviously he knows how to close, because you don't win the events that he's had and the number of majors that he has without being able to close, even though he's never been able to close in on that green jacket. The problem with Rory is he always starts slow. He gets behind, and then he has to mount these weekend challenges. And then next thing you know, you see him move up in the leaderboard, and then he has another top 5 finish, but he never really contends. So for him to get off to a fast start, I think is really, really important and really, really good for him, and really, really bad news for the rest of the field. He's been playing very well. If he can, you know, his short game has gotten a little better. His wedge game for a world class player has been average at best, Steve.
Right.
And that's what really does him in. He does, you know, he doesn't turn, you know, pars into birdies, and he turns some pars into bogeys. But he's been in pretty good form lately. Justin Thomas is a guy, you know, on a shot maker's golf course, which is what this is. You know, he shapes shots as well, if not better, than anybody on the tour. And so that was the guy that I picked to win, even though you don't see a lot of back-to-back major winners a whole lot. But, you know, I look at Will Zalatoris. He was 2 over. He finishes minus 1. You know, and the other thing I liked about Rory, too, is, you know, he goes bogey-free for the most part. I think he bogeyed the 17th hole. But when you see guys in a U.S. Open not make bogeys, that's what I look for. For example, I look at Jordan Spieth. He shot 1 over on the front. He made 2 pars. You know, bogey, birdie, bogey, birdie, birdie, bogey.
Yeah.
You know, the last 2 holes, same thing. Birdie at 17 to get to 1, bogey at 18. So it's nice that you make birdies, but when you start making bogeys, if not more, but let's just stick with bogeys in a U.S. Open, it gets tough. You're going to make them. But the guy who makes the fewest is the guy who's going to contend. And when I see Rory, now I know it's only 1 round, but it is Rory, and when I see him do that to open, that tells me he's very comfortable and very confident, and I just think he's going to be tough to beat, to be honest, even though it's just 1 round. But based on everything and based on who it is and the way he's been playing, he looks like a sure bet to me.
And by the way, when you're going bogey, birdie, in the U.S. Open, eventually bogey wins.
That's right.
I mean, that's the problem. My friend, I don't care what the circumstances, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Well, Steve, always good chat with you, my friend, and I'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds good. We got to get out to the course here at some point.
I'm still waiting for Ronnie Moeller, our friend, to set it all up, because I'll be there as soon as he does.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Jerry.
All right, man. I'll see you, Steve.
And that is our buddy Jerry Dulac from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Steelers Radio Network, on some golf talk. And, of course, we always go to him for the latest on the Pittsburgh Steelers as well. And it's been a very interesting week. If you've been a Steeler fan, as now you've gone from Heinz Field to Acrisure Stadium. And, yeah, not a lot of Steeler fans are happy about that, and I can definitely understand that for sure. But coming up now as we begin the final hour of our Best Of show here on this Wednesday, all Penn State sports alumni, recent alumni, will kick things off with a pair of interviews. Football alumni Jaquan Brisker, Jahan Dotson, now members of the Bears and Commanders, respectively, after being drafted earlier this spring. Those are coming up at 4:06, and at 4:35, it's Kelly Mazzanti, the now associate women's basketball coach at Bucknell. Of course, Penn State women's basketball great, Montoursville High School girls basketball great, and our PA Sports Hall of Famer. So that's coming up in the final half hour. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Humble Fork, and online at sunburymotors.com. It is the Best Of the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.